You're listening to KKUP Cupertino, 91.5 FM, and it is just after 11 p.m., and time for the Vibrational Voyage program. Got something new for you this week. Pretty amazing alignment for the new moon coming here, April 3rd. So we're fast approaching the beginning of April in this amazing alignment. So I had a discussion with Tiger Windwalker, and I brought that for you tonight. I recorded it a couple nights ago, and thought you might enjoy hearing about this, because we do some analysis on what's been happening, the trends with world events and the celestial happenings. And then we go into some of the significance of not only this event, but what's kind of coming forward for us on the horizon. And actually, it's going to take me just a minute to get the CD in there. So give me just a moment, and we will start with the discussion of the April 3rd new moon.
Let's rebuild, but not right here. Let's proceed, but not like this. Let's govern, but not with them. Let's think before it's too late.
Very nice.
The challenge here is, in a sense, a programmatic challenge to human consciousness, to the degree that somehow we feel that we don't deserve to live the good life. Mm-hmm. From the legacy of the Piscean Age, 2,000 years of indoctrination by the church, that somehow we were less than, that we were sinners, and that so much of who we are was shameful, and that we were somehow wrong at the very get-go of existence, has polluted our psyches and soured our souls. And there is an opportunity now that I see with the ongoing alignment of Neptune and the planetoid Chiron. There is an opportunity now to heal this great wound, the wound of all wounds, the mother of all wounds. Some of these other things that would be basically shamanic, those are hard to interpret and require a different kind of listening and perhaps kind of a special emphasis. And that's why we do vision quests, why we go out into the wilderness, and you and I have done that ourselves.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And profoundly, life-changing experiences in these vision quests. Mm-hmm. Where we basically, by showing up, we're calling for a vision. But it also means that we're listening on deeper levels too, on the levels of the body, for any kind of messages that we can get. It's still a difficult thing, and I think, bottom line, it's not the philosophy that determines it, but it's the practitioner. It's just exactly what any particular person brings, to the game, what special qualities that they have themselves and what they have honed and cultivated. So, but now we have some hard data coming in. And I think many times in the past I've talked about this, what started all of this was Saturn opposing Uranus, which started, I can't even remember now, a year and a half ago or something.
Yeah, Election Day.
Election Day. Oh, there you go. I can say that because I have the exact chart here, which is mind-blowing in itself, because so many of these occasions that we've had are archetypal. Imagine that the first opposition of Saturn and Uranus is on the day of the presidential elections and at the hour when the Republican candidate was conceding. These things, when you start to look at them and measure them up to the abstractions and the mathematics, really are amazing when they turn out to be dead on. And one thing that I have to say, since that time of the election in 2008, is that the lens has tightened, and the synchronicities now are becoming very, very tight, almost mathematical. And as far as I'm concerned, mathematical is archetypal. And so we're coming up on another window here, another profound synchronicity. We'll have more to come. Each full moon, each new moon, each eclipse seems to be happening at almost a prophetic time. Hmm. And now with the hard data coming in, we can crunch the data and the information and the numbers, and now we're beginning to see exactly, we can be more specific about exactly what's going on. I believe also that there's more to come. So that's not necessarily to hold you all in suspense. The fact is there's more to come just by the nature of the situations, the shifting sands, the moving plates, the political intrigues, the way things are going. The old order is dying away, and in the crisis that we are faced with, we get to begin the process of deciding what the new order will be, and the very decisions that we're making now and the places where we put our attention.
So it seems to me there's a heightened potential for insight, visions, seeing clearly far into the depths, or to feel the depths in different respects. And these events that are going on resonate really strongly with that. We have, for this new moon, I was really intrigued when looking at that. And you had kind of seen it and developed some sense and feeling about what's going on in that event. The sun and the moon are together exactly opposite Saturn and together with Jupiter. Moon, sun, Jupiter. And yep. There's this great stellium that goes from Mercury, mm-hmm. Jupiter, moon, sun, Uranus, Mars, mm-hmm. Venus, Chiron,
yes.
Neptune. I mean, it's just this, it's like, you know, it looks like a flaming streamer.
Yes, it does.
Saturn's the handle.
Yeah, we hardly, and it's, you know what, there's two ways of looking at it when you have oppositions. So in that we have Saturn opposition Jupiter, Saturn opposition the sun, and Saturn opposition the moon. And there's two ways of looking at it. One is because Saturn's the target, which I do believe is true. And the other is Saturn has to respond. The leaders, since Saturn rules leaders and organizations and structures and government and big business, they need to respond to be seen as being trustworthy. So when Saturn's the target, and I've talked about this before, is that we're looking at the breach of containment. And that's not, that doesn't just particularly belong to nuclear physics. If a dam breaks, you lose containment. If a hose breaks, you lose containment. If a nuclear vessel breaks, you lose containment. If a country is the leadership, the governing structure breaks down and shattered, you lose containment also.
Well, and when we ourselves go through experiences that are so extreme that they push us beyond what we feel our limits can be, again, the containment is broken right inside of us.
You lose your job. You lose because Saturn has a relationship to, you know, our responsibilities in the outer world, our career, and, you know, how our engagements in the outer world, in the commercial world. So, and a lot of people since 2008 or before lost their jobs. So it has a lot of meaning. And on the other side, say if it's a natural disaster, then of course governments, and we've seen this before with Katrina and earthquakes around the world, tsunamis, that government usually is not prepared to act quickly. And of course, it's all a matter of scale, because if it's a large, really a cataclysmic disaster, then where thousands of people have lost their lives, and it's really difficult when you have the whole infrastructure, the whole landscape wiped clean. It's very, very difficult to manage a situation that like that. And even more difficult to manage a situation where you have an invisible poison being released into the atmosphere or into the ocean that can't be tracked. Remember, we also had the oil spill in the Caribbean. There's been a buildup all along, the loss of containment but through in the pipe from the drilling rig. See? So pipes, and when they break and things, and they release, you know, oil, or, you know, or the land can't stand up to a tsunami, you know, and everything. The whole, they had protective seawalls in Japan, but they weren't big enough. So we're constantly looking at that, what that is, and also the internal parameters. I have noticed lately that so many people are in crisis on the inside. So my latest thing that I tell them is, you know, don't worry, we're all in the same boat. Don't take it personally. I mean, we're all going nuts to a degree. And in that process of being tested and going into crises, we have to continually be updating our sense of equilibrium. And often one doesn't ever discover one's balance until one is just on the verge of losing it. If you were to walk along a railroad track or something, I used to do this as a kid, you'll see this, that you know, what is balance? And your body knows, but often you have to be on the verge of losing it in order to really find it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the challenge right now, is that we're all being tested from the inside in our subjective lives, and from the outside in our objective lives. And in this, and through crises that are throwing us to and fro, we need to find a new sense of equilibrium there. One reason I thought transits of April 3rd was important, and let me just go through these really quick. We talked about, if you can visualize a glob of planets on one side and one planet directly on the other side, that one planet being Saturn, which is basically our institutions, our government, our big business, everything that organizes and contains the life process of a society. And on the other side, we have a lot of planets who are in such a way, in an energetic way, that present challenges to that containment or that governance or that organization. So on the new moon we have Sun, and this is the definition of the new moon. The Sun is exactly with the moon. It's conjoined. So the moon basically disappears because the moon's between us and the Sun. And so with the new moon, we have our highest tides, our highest and lowest tides. But when we're thinking about water, which we've seen, and liquids, so much of what has been going on has been the breach of containment, to plates through subduction, elevating other plates, or pipes blowing out. But a lot of it has been expressed through water. So we're going to have a very high tide on the new moon of April 3rd. And right next to the Sun there, we have Jupiter. And whenever Jupiter is next to a planet, it makes it magnifies any action that happens. So Jupiter is conjoining the Sun and the Moon. So, you know, I didn't look at a tide table, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the higher tides, maximum and negative tides on that day. But what it usually means is that the amplitude is so great that then you see the reflection of the Moon, Sun, high tide, and Jupiter, which creates big waves. You see that reflected in Saturn, and the inability to contain the action, to contain the pressure, to contain the movement of the fluids. Mm-hmm. And it's very energetic because it's in the sign Aries, and Mars is the ruler of Aries. So we have Uranus and Mars conjoined, which is traditionally in astrology, this is called an accident transit. And they're both in the sign Aries, which is ruled by Mars. So what you'll have is something, you can have unforeseen things that just suddenly there's an accident that happens. Where, you know, that results in physical injury. Mm. And when you put all of these together, there's five planets right there in that stellium, really close, that, you know, in one way or another can all be considered to be conjoining. You have a lot of energetic challenge to the systems of containment, the pre-existing systems of containment. And the other thing I wanted to say is that Pluto, which is actually the planet of death and regeneration, but it also has to do with nuclear power. If you look at Pluto, you'll see that there's like a little containment vessel there and a little teeny seed-like circle in the middle of it, which is like looks like it's a containment vessel. Uh-huh. And Pluto is the repository of the most powerful energies that are known in the universe. So what we have again is Jupiter, the planet of big waves, okay, of big magnified events, in dynamic Aries, squaring Pluto, planet of nuclear power, and also it's a warring planet, in the sign Capricorn, which is the ruling sign of Saturn. So again, what that indicates is more challenges to the established system of control and organization and containment. There's more challenges there. So when I saw all of these things, I said, my goodness, it really looks like that we could be looking at a whole nother window opening up of possibilities and really explosive, unpredictable events. And we are, not only are we in that window now as of the equinox, mm-hmm. or as of the 20th, mm-hmm. That window stays open through the 3rd and beyond. So, let's leave the other. There's something else to be said about all these alignments, but just for that, what would you like to say about that, Tony? We can come back and talk about Neptune and Chiron at the end here. But what would you have to say about that? What's your reflection?
Well, where Saturn and Jupiter are concerned, Jupiter is just beginning to make his as of this new moon. He'll be past the halfway mark and making his journey back to Saturn. And it seems like there are, it's another balance point, right? Just like we just experienced with the equinox.
That's in every opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fulcrum in every opposition.
Well, it seems to suggest that there was a message from, a Hopi elder that came out over the equinox, and it basically said, you know, our prayers are with your prayers for Japan, and we're basically at a time when we will be making the decision for how life flows on Earth, for the balance of Earth's living the balance of the life on Earth. We're making decisions now that impact everything. And so it said that the impacts can be lessened by prayer. They wanted to emphasize that us coming together, us having our attention together makes a difference. And here we have Jupiter and Saturn. So we're on its journey. And this journey exists in relation to Saturn. Our patterns, our karma, our systems and structures of authority, the way that we've currently put them together. And so now we're at a pivot point with Jupiter, with how we turn this adventure, how we move this adventure right now. We have more possibilities and more capacity, more resources, more tools than we realize. And they're available to us as we begin to start paying attention. And that's the pivot point that we are making and may well make in a more profound way at this time. That's kind of how it's speaking to me, that these pivot points are so important and so critical. And the thing that's cool about the Uranus and Mars almost exactly together is that it's a surprising choice. It's an unexpected choice, and the choice that has the impact of a lightning bolt. And as I was listening to you, some of this stuff was kind of coming for me together with more focus. And especially because the sun and moon are exactly together, almost exactly opposite Saturn. So yeah. like you were saying, Saturn's really the target for this. And I was looking at it with Judy. From Mercury stretching back up towards Neptune, there's this nice stretch of the planets all together through Aries and Pisces and Neptune right at the end of Aquarius. And then there's Pluto that straggles behind. Mm-hmm. And Judy said, well, that's kind of like the whip. You know, you get the streamer, and then right at the very end there's the whip, and there's the snap of the whip, and that's Pluto.
Very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I would say to just enhance on what you're saying, so we have to remember that all the stellium is occurring in a cardinal sign. It's in Aries. And Aries is actually less about thinking. If it has to do with thought, it's thought in motion. In other words, action and response are predominant. When a lot of these planets just came out of Virgo and Pisces, then there was more room to meditate on it. And some of that meditation really brought us down, because as you put your internal attention on where your faults are or where your dark side is, it tends to drag you down. We are now outside of that. Now we're actually into the war zone. We're into like saving people. We're into rebuilding. We're into containing some, a nuclear power plant. We're into having to take action. So the thinking that we do, we have to do it on our feet. And that's really, really important. The other thing that, and it also is a place where, insofar as we have repressed our energy through negative and depressive thinking, it's now the rebound is now we want to assert ourselves. We want to take action. We're fed up. We're tired with things. We're tired with the way they are, and that we want change. We want to inject now some new life energy into the mix. Sun and moon represent the most personal areas in a life. And that being opposed to Saturn, which would be considered the great big father in the sky, or, you know, what do we call him in Uncle Sam? You know, it's the guy with the long beard who tells you what to do. This is part of the test for government right now, is the government needs to win, you know, our trust and faith again. And a lot of the revelations that we're having with alignments between big business and government and the way that those relationships are mutual for those people and to the detriment of the greater public. This stuff is all coming to the forefront now. Thank you, Pluto, because we now have the Jupiter square Pluto is bringing a lot of these revelations. And people are not stupid. They can see it. They can see that nuclear power plants were built without proper consideration. So who's going to regulate the regulators? Because regulation is in. Regulation is a Saturnine concept. But if the regulators fail in regulating and working toward the common good and the common welfare, then who's going to regulate the regulators? What happens, you either have a revolution where you throw the regulators and the leaders out, or you have to have more political involvement so that you replace the regulators with new regulators who really take their job seriously. I mean, in the bottom line, this is what it's like. There's just no rubber stamping. We had with the BP, we had rubber stamping of their plans, and they didn't even, obviously, they didn't have any backup for the disaster. We had rubber stamping for this these power plants that have been going in, some of them going in backwards, 180 degrees off for Diablo Canyon, and put it between two earthquake faults, just rubber stamping, and not with concern for the public welfare. And so these are things that need to be considered. I just wanted to make a little enhancement on what you were saying there, Tony.
No, I love that. This pivot that we seem to be poised to make, it seems like it could certainly take us towards a greater range of destructive experiences. And I think we're at a place where maybe we can start to see that, because there's this resonance that runs through these destructive experiences, and it resonates also with fear, and it resonates also with anger, and that destruction also resonates with great despair. And at the same time, we're all having, and if we're available to it, we can have them in plenty, we're all potentially having experiences of great thriving right now. Look, the earth, even though it's still a little stormy and wintry, the earth is in the midst of blooming again. So yes, for everybody in the northern hemisphere, we're experiencing that. The people in the southern hemisphere are experiencing the transition of autumn. So we're all in the midst of you know, that those colors of change and transformation. All right, so we can see the dynamic that's present in destructive behavior. We can also see and experience directly the joy of the thriving, living, breathing world. And that world extends in every direction, and we can see and comprehend what it is, this band of light that goes around us through Sagittarius, Cygnus, Cassiopeia, Gemini, and then back down underneath Centaurus and to Sagittarius again. It's the galaxy. That's the light of our galaxy, and it envelops us. It pervades the space that surrounds us. And so there's a way that we can begin to synergize with that living, thriving, brilliant energy. And that one has a resonance with consciousness, with attentiveness, and with love. And also with our very vitality, you know, the strength of our vitality and the joy and the vitality of our world, those go together. And then also perception, the way that our true awareness, our true knowing, and what our nervous system will reveal to us, what McKenna said, the felt presence of immediate experience. So that resonates with the thriving thing, and also to me, with the life of the heavens, literally, and heaven, what we would point to and call heaven, that life thriving in everything, it seems to me, would be resonant with whatever that is. Now, we have that as well. So this place of pivoting here is a place of recognizing how these different possibilities take form and how our attentiveness impacts the way they take form. And it seems to me it's as much as anything else, it's a lesson of, okay, well, how have we done it? Pay attention. This is how we've done it. This is how we've gotten ourselves into this situation. This is how we've managed to pull this one off. Now, maybe we want to try to start to see it, experience it, and do it in a different way.
Yeah, well, I just want to confirm also that the resonant energy of aliveness and regeneration of new growth is the spring energy. Hmm. And we just happen to have that stellium in the sign Aries is the spring energy when we're only a few days removed from the spring equinox. So we're at the natural time, and I know I've been telling you that I felt that this year is a truly remarkable year. I called it the year of the double spring. It's like the spring that we're leaping off of this year is really a mega, maxi spring. And so the energy that is, you know, it's a funny thing about a spring is the way the steel is formed and coiled, you have latent energy that is available and can be released in a powerful way. Now, just for a moment, listening audience, where inside you do you have latent stored energy that could be released at this time in a very dramatic way, in a very assertive way? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a very powerful and expressive time in our lives. This spring, 2011, this is a time when we can really move out of the humdrum lives that perhaps we felt we were trapped in for the last two and a half years. We can move out of that and begin to assert ourselves, whether it means speaking, taking action. Remember, the thought process is going to be in motion, so it's very interesting. It will challenge our ingenuity and our adaptiveness to move and to keep up with events, but a very exciting time. So in the very least, we will not be in a position of complaining about the things that we have been complaining about for the last year at least. We'll be able to now, you know, focus our attention on something else, because these times are just going to grab us. And as we are thrown out of equilibrium, we will find our balance. And then we will become in touch with that dynamic quality in us, so that living sense of equilibrium that is engaged with movement. It becomes activated with our movement. So as we throw ourselves out, we bring ourselves back in. It's a wonderful thing about the polarities. This is a dynamic duality where we all get to experience the most wonderful part of what it means to be alive on planet Earth.
Yes, definitely. I want you to give me some of your impressions about this event for the next equinox, which is coming up. It's Saturn coming to meet Spica. And I've got a depiction of the equinox time frame on the webpage with the most recent article.
Okay, NC Rising?
NC Rising, and then click any of the first two big images, either the chart or the one below it.
Okay, I have a comet, Venus, Saturn. Wow, look at that. It's just zooming right, the gift of the goddess, and then zooming right between Spica and Saturn.
Yes.
The comet Elenin?
Elenin, yeah.
Elenin?
Now, yeah.
Is Elenin, does that have a mythological reference?
I thought so, but it's the name of, I haven't learned anything about that. It's the name of the astronomer. I believe it was a Russian astronomer.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he must have lived in mythological times. But yeah, well, when you know, now what I see with that, Tony, is, and it's heading toward Venus, which is very interesting. So that alignment is not absolutely direct, but it's pretty close. So it looks like it's going along the ecliptic to a degree, right?
Yes. That's amazingly aligned, well aligned with the comet is specifically. Very, very closely aligned with the ecliptic. So that's very unusual, number one.
Yes. So it's in, basically, it has something to do, it's resonating with our neighborhood and our the way that the array and the splash of our planets is, the disk of our planetary arrangements, it's like riding on an LP long playing
record.
Remember the old records? It's riding on the record there.
Yeah.
It's skimming over the top of the spinning
disk
of our planets.
That's right.
That's very interesting. So what I would say is that my first interpretation of that, and all I can see now here is the three, Spica and Saturn and Venus, I would say that is a messenger from the galaxy or from our greater neighborhood that's bringing an input that eventually is going to resolve into a better understanding that we have in terms of our relatedness as human beings together. So the gift is to take the elements of understanding and information, our sense of responsibility and our karma that seems to be ending at this time if we play our cards right. And it brings us into a higher state of our own relatedness as human beings on this planet. That's what seems to come through. Is that clear to you?
Yes, indeed. I really like it. When it spoke to me, because I've been watching this Saturn approach to Spica for years, since Spica mm-hmm. and Regulus were together. And so I knew that, you know, in a few years, Saturn would get down here to where Spica is. So I've kind of been mm-hmm. enjoying watching it progress. Well, when I looked at this, because I realized this year that Saturn would turn retrograde before it got to Spica, which is what happened, I think, in January. And so really, really late at night, you could see the two of them together hanging out in the east, low in the east, late at night. And then now it's moved up. So Saturn and Spica are visible at about 11 p.m. in the southeast. And they're moving apart a little bit at this point. And uh-huh. so we have this respite while Saturn retrogrades. And then this summer, when Saturn is direct, then all of this stuff begins to line up. Venus is coming
around. When does Saturn and Spica line up?
Like late October, early November. But what's going to happen in the meantime, as you can see, is the Sun and Venus and the comet are swinging through, and then Venus and the Sun are almost exactly together with Saturn at the same moment, as then Sun and Venus swing on through to hit Spica first. So Sun and Venus come through and bless Saturn and Spica first, and then Saturn goes through. First the comet comes and blesses.
Yeah, oh yeah, remember that comet's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And then
what you have is the comet is delivering the gift in one direction. The gift will be internalized coming the opposite direction. So what comes up for me, Tony, is the release of karma.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's the release of karma through the action of love. That's mm-hmm. what I'd like to say. It's the release of karma through the action of visible love.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's what comes up for me.
Very nice. Yeah, it speaks to me of something that's resonant with that exactly, that there is a new discipline or a new path that we can take that this comet especially kind of symbolizes, but then the Venus energy with Spica and with the Sun and with Saturn. To me, it's a new path, a new way, a new discipline that would open us towards the gift of heaven.
Well, and now I just got to point out, and you're going to kind of chuckle when you get this. If you look at the chart for today, and just look in there and see where Venus is.
Oh, I haven't seen this. Okay.
Because you're going to chuckle when you see this.
Oh, right between Neptune and Chiron. And it's at the midpoint.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And it's actually just entering the very spiritual sign. Venus is just entering the spiritual sign of Pisces and will quite quickly conjoin with Chiron. So, you know, when you get that all there is love, you know, let's sing a little John Lennon here now. You find out that you can release yourself from the karma of privation, low self-esteem, guilt, shame, and scarcity. And then the universal principle, the cosmic universal principle of Neptune can support us because we feel the love as we breathe the air. We feel our hearts as in the same drum sound, a drum sound that is all of our, the sound of our hearts. We feel it in that way. We feel the tie, we feel the similarities rather than the differences. As we choose to attend to our similarities, then what happens is the higher principles engage. And as we then, you know, choose to practice the golden rule, then we go to a higher level. You know? And I think in these times of crisis is that we're having to look at making new choices and new affirmations and becoming attentive in new ways. It's interesting that tonight, as we're doing this interview, that's the nature of the planets, even though we're talking about something that will be happening in, what, 7 days or something. It's amazing how time seems to be slowing down. You know, events seem to be accelerating, but time seems to be slowing down. There's so much that's being crammed. So much experience is being crammed into the so-called same amount of time. But doesn't that say something? Isn't that interesting? If we can cram that much experience, if we can feel subjectively all of these things moving through us, all of these qualities and these issues and these textures and feelings and emotions, if we can hold all of that in the same amount of time as we've always had, then obviously we must be maturing in some way. We must be deepening. We must be becoming more multifaceted in ourselves. If we can hold that all in our attention span.
Absolutely. There's something that's being born in the midst of our experience. I mean, it's right here. It's inside us, and it's something that's revealing a greater texture in the energy of our very own experiences. It's very personal, but it's got this pervasive quality, and we see it echoed in the experiences and the songs and the poems of the people that we connect with. And it's like a reverberation that's going on. The one other thing that is so powerful with this still, Pluto is still highly closely aligned to the galactic equator, still really close. And so we've got the primordial energy of the galaxy itself, which surrounds us. So our world is a world, we're discovering this, our world is a world galactic. We literally are the energy and the life and the activity of the consciousness of the galaxy. We are that.
Yes.
It's what we're having a recognition of just as much. So there are dimensions popping into our experience and making themselves recognized that are stunning. And
yes,
you know, they've always been there, but we haven't been.
Now I just got to jump in here and say this: that Pluto square Jupiter, any relationship with Pluto and Jupiter, I believe, is going to be a scientific blessing for us, because the opportunities for us to expand our knowledge about the essential, basic, primordial truths about how the universe is constructed is where we're going as part of the high tech aspect of the Aquarian age. And it's very possible that if those forms of perpetual energy, free perpetual energy, are not discovered during this time, then their existence will be revealed in this time. And of course that will shake up the legitimacy of governments there, because there are many people that say we already have the solutions to our problems. It's just that the secret government sitting on it, and the big corporations, the big oil companies, if there was a perpetual motion machine, and I know we've talked about this before, but let's say that there's a giant magnetic generator that's available that could bring electricity to every house and every city everywhere, and could pump wells and all that. We would basically be liberated from the energy crisis that we're now facing and the attendant pollution of the environment. It certainly wouldn't be in the interests of the oil companies and many large industries for that information to go public. But, you know, I believe one way or another, it's either going to be rediscovered and disseminated, or it's going to be revealed. And one other thing I got to say, Jupiter square Pluto now, but in July, Jupiter will be trine Pluto. So that relationship is shifting. It's at a very strong tension point now, and a lot of that energy is part of a large wave. The WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, the revelation of a massive amount of secret documents at about the covert practices of our government and everything. That is a Jupiter square Pluto phenomenon. But when we get into the trine, which is only a few months away, then we're likely to see some of these discoveries in basic science and basic physics that could really help us.
Oh, that's a really lovely one. Thank you for pointing that one out. That's awesome. Well, it just seems like there's so much to take note of. And the thing that I'm fascinated by is what you're seeing, what I'm feeling, and, you know, Judy says it, and a number of other people, many other people are observing this, that there's something extraordinary revealing itself right here in our world, in the midst of our own experience. And so it's well worth the time and the energy to pay attention. But, you know, we got to shut the darn TV off and go out and watch the sky, help make a difference someplace. But pay attention to what's going on and begin to recognize the choices that we're making, how important they are.
Mm-hmm. Let's rebuild, but not right here. Let's proceed, but not like this. Let's govern, but not with them. Let's think before it's too late.
Very nice.
The challenge here is, in a sense, a programmatic challenge to human consciousness, to the degree that somehow we feel that we don't deserve to live the good life. Mm-hmm. From the legacy of the Piscean Age, 2,000 years of indoctrination by the church, that somehow we were less than, that we were sinners, and that so much of who we are was shameful, and that we were somehow wrong at the very get-go of existence, has polluted our psyches and soured our souls. And there is an opportunity now that I see with the ongoing alignment of Neptune and the planetoid Chiron. There is an opportunity now to heal this great wound, the wound of all wounds, the mother of all wounds, which is our belief that we are not worthy to live. And as our lives are being taken from us and from our neighbors, somewhere the scream, the assertion will be, I am worthy to live. And we should build a new society. We should build a new global community on the basis of that. I want to live.
Well, that resonates so strongly with something that I feel, that there are, just like in a person, we have our places where we get stuck with energy and old traumas and such. It seems like there's something working in human consciousness that's like that. We are hell-bent on destruction in resonance with some of these great horrors that we've witnessed and can't bear to look at or remember. But we carry it. We carry it in us, and it's like a cyst ready to explode. But we've got to be attentive to it and get ourselves in the right process to allow this thing to either be healed or to be cleaned or opened up. And it seems like, from my own experience, when we encounter things like that personally, there's a fortunateness to the events, ultimately, and even bliss in the process of finding its healing, its resolution. Well, it seems like that potential certainly exists with this kind of wound, this big wound that the human beingness as a whole has, a hole in humanity's soul that perhaps is now at a point where we can recognize it and begin to heal that. It seems like, something that's energetically at the core of us, giving us that sense of not being okay, not belonging, not deserving to live, certainly not deserving to be happy, and being hell-bent on destruction. Putting our attention so much on destruction that's what we turn our world into.
Well, as we are able to give ourselves the gift of compassion and forgiveness, it's very interesting, because as we face the crises and we make the responses and the changes that are necessary, almost instantaneously we start thinking about extending the gift of compassion to generations who are yet unborn. So when the landscape gets cleared off and your house is destroyed, you begin to think about what you would like to leave for your children and your children's children that would be safe. When you think about, eliminating nuclear power as a way of generating electricity because you have had to clean up poison in the environment that will affect future generations, suddenly you're there. Suddenly you're there thinking about generations yet to come. And the old Native Americans always talked about our responsibility, and this is a good part of Saturn, not a repressive, controlling, despotic part. The good part of Saturn gets us in touch with what our responsibility is to generations yet to come. So I just want to suggest that as we heal that wound, that mother of all wounds, we can surely begin to craft a new kind of human fabric that moves ahead, loving the earth, loving the people, loving the children yet to come, and honoring the ancestors. I think that's a very important part that we should hold into the larger picture.
Yeah. No, that's well said. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure and an adventure when we get to be together, whether it's on Skype or in the flesh. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tony. And here at Control Central, I'm just loving Skype, loving the internet, the computer, the browsers, the cell phone, and the little bit of chocolate I have right next to me. I think I can write it out for now, and I wish you the best. I wish the best to all the listening audience. And just remember, folks, don't take it personally, because we're all in the same boat right now. We're all feeling tentative. We're all having places where we doubt ourselves. And yet, it's the time of the double spring. We're going to move ahead. We're going to move through this stuff. We're going to make our assertions as human beings on a beautiful planet out here in the middle of the galaxy.
Very nicely said. Thank you, Tiger.
Thank you.